baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into another Behind the Bets podcast. We are taping this on Wednesday, December 18th. I am Doug Kazarian. So a week off for the college podcast, but we're back. And up next, we're going to have Matt Eumanns and John Murray. We're going to talk about the bowl games over the next week, and then we'll have another podcast. It'll be kind of three installments of college football podcast. Still doing the NFL one. That'll come out tomorrow, every Thursday. Thursday games are done, by the way, so only weekend games left, and then one more Monday nighter. So a lot to get through here on the Behind the Bets, and we have a bunch of content on Daily Wager, also ESPN.com. We're doing the bowl picks in waves as well on the ESPN.com chalk section. I have a couple plays up for this first weekend and change. And that's what we'll kind of approach this podcast, the first weekend and change. And then the next podcast will be after Christmas. So thanks to everyone for their loyal listenership throughout the season. And let's get right into it with Matt.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
Ain't that the truth, Bob Lee? As we bring in Matt Eumanns from Las Vegas of VSiN. Matt, how are you, my friend?
Doug, it's a cold day in Vegas, believe it or not. I know people think it's, out here in the desert that it's warm all year. I came outside by the pool to talk to you, and it's about 45 degrees, so it's a little bit odd. But it's bowl season. I'm looking forward to it. I've got the I got the TV on ESPN2. I'm getting the popcorn ready for the Stanford Steve and the Bear Bowl special today, and fired up for the bowl games.
Nice. Are you in the hot tub that originated the John Murray Open for this podcast?
No.
Okay. All right. We were all in the same apartment complex. Somebody tweeted me, I think last week, asking like what the heck it's all about. And I gave him a little bit of background, but it's good to remain a little bit into mystery there. You gotta be mysterious to a certain extent. All right, well, let's start with the first game. I think Conference USA is garbage, but there are a lot of people on Charlotte. First ever bowl game, obviously, for the 49ers. Catching 6.5 against SUNY Buffalo. But obviously, the Bulls can be frisky at times, but I want no part of the Conference USA. Humor me. Why do you like the 49ers?
You know what? Charlotte made a great run at the end of the season to get to a bowl game. I think this number is a little bit high. I like Charlotte a lot better offensively than I do the Bulls. Now, this is obviously a really good offensive team against a really good defensive team, and Buffalo's a better defensive team. I think this number is too high, Doug. I really think Buffalo should be like a 3-point favorite here. The number's 6.5, and this just strictly a numbers play. And also, what you have to take into account when you handicap this game is, I haven't bet this yet, but a lot of these bowl games we pick for bowl pools, right? We all pay to get in bowl pools, and we have something on pretty much every game because of those pools. I have not bet this, but, the total opened 59, dropped to 58.5. There were reports of high winds in the Bahamas, maybe 30-mile-an-hour winds. The same thing happened last year in the Bahamas Bowl, and there were two touchdowns in the final 40 seconds, including one with 2 seconds to go to push the game over the total. And that kicked off basically the bowl season with a bad beat for a lot of bettors. But the sharp money's on the under here, and I just think the Bulls are favored by a few too many. So, like I said, this is not going to be a best bet recommendation, but for a bowl pool play, I played Charlotte, and I can tell you the sharp money is definitely under the total, and you know that by watching the screen.
Yeah, no, it's moved a considerable amount. It's funny, I might not do a bowl pool this year just because I want to be sort of like clean slate with live betting options. I feel like bowl games are just such a crapshoot. I've never done particularly well, much bigger units per se during the regular season. So I think I might just abstain in the bowl pools and just pick my spots and then obviously get involved during the game if I see one team's come to play. Like last year, right off the top, I know you were on Texas against Georgia last year, money line plus the points. And right off the top, you could tell, and I would have jumped in. But sometimes you're like, oh, I already got enough invested in my bowl pool that I'm never going to win. And it's just – so I'm just abstaining. As of now, obviously – come Thursday night, I might sing a different tune and have that itch. But it's funny you mentioned that because I've been giving it some extensive thought this December about thinking there might be a better way to tweak my approach.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I've had years where I've been atrocious in the bowl games. I've had years where I've been great in the bowl games. You know, and obviously most years are in the middle. Last year, I actually won a bowl pool for a substantial amount, so it paid off. But, yeah, I mean, it seems like more often than not, I'm donating in the bowl pool like most people. But it was nice to win one last year, so I'll probably do it again this year.
Yeah, I would definitely do it if it didn't affect how I thought about the game.
Oh, I know.
That's the thing.
No,
I want the clean slate.
The same thing about fantasy football. I haven't played fantasy football for 20 years. I get tired of people saying, you know, I want the Bears to win, but I need Aaron Rodgers to throw three TD passes, you know, or stuff like that. I'm going to bet the Bears, but I need Aaron Rodgers for my fantasy team. I don't play fantasy. Like you said, I just like to have a clean slate with my bets. I don't want to care about fantasy points.
Well said. Perfect analogy. Let's go to the next game. Line movement on the side here. You mentioned the total in the Bahamas Bowl. This one, because of all the reports with Utah State, but it looks like all the players, including Jordan Love, are good to go.
Yeah, Jordan Love obviously got cited for marijuana possession Saturday night, and I think his status should be a little bit up in the air, you would think. It looks like he's going to play in the Frisco Bowl. That number dropped from 7 to 6. And, you know,
he even touched 4 during the daily wager yesterday. He even touched 4.
Yeah.
Crazy. Now it's back up.
Kent State actually 5 straight covers as a dog and 3 outright wins. This is another team kind of like Charlotte that really had to push hard down the stretch to get into a bowl, game. And I just like the way Kent played late in the season and with Jordan Love's status up in the air. Don't forget, this Utah State offense declined drastically from last year. I think dropped from about 48 points a game to 28 points a game. And Jordan Love did not play well. You look at his numbers this year. There's been some talk about him being a first-round pick. I don't see him as a potential first-round NFL draft pick. And his numbers dropped off big time this year. So Utah State has not been as potent offensively. I think Kent State can hang in this game. It's and especially with the questions now about Jordan Love and the trouble he's in before the bowl, I can see why there's some interest in Kent State. So for me, this is going to be another underdog or pass situation on Friday. These first two bowl games don't look like great betting opportunities, but it's a good warm-up for the bowl season.
Yeah, I'm with you on this Utah State team. Pretty maddening. I was on the over when they played at LSU. They never got there. Even the Rice game had some issues. So not thrilled with Jordan Love. Now, some of that could be the offense. I hated some of the play calling on the goal line. I think I was stuck on an over once. They couldn't punch it in from the one. Just obviously revisiting some headaches throughout the season.
Well, it's a coaching change. You know, Matt Wells left.
And yeah.
I was really high on Matt Wells, and I think he's going to do a great job at Texas Tech. And he was unfortunate. He had kind of a quarterback carousel at Tech this year after Alan Bowman went down. And Tech went through a 2 or 3 week stretch where didn't really have an effective quarterback, and then finally found some offense late in the season. But Wells is a really, really good coach, and I don't feel the same way about Gary Anderson.
Concur. I concur. Okay, let's go to Saturday. A slew of games on that, and, you know, there's a popular play here. Sometimes the popular plays are for good reason. Sometimes they backfire. You and I both like SMU. Obviously, Florida Atlantic, much different situation without Lane Kiffin, and I am very anti-Conference USA this entire bowl season. There's somehow 8 bowl teams from that weak conference. But FAU won the conference, obviously, in the big blowout over UAB. But I do like SMU being able to torch this defense and cover a short number.
Yeah, SMU had a really good season, and I think this team's going to be inspired a little bit to play in a bowl like this. And you have to question, you know, the Owls and their motivation here. Because you lose Lane Kiffin, and that's a big deal. And you're staying home to play in a bowl game, which I think has got to be a little bit of a bummer for these guys. So, a lot of times a bowl game handicapping, Doug, I'm not going to dig too deep into the numbers and the stats. Obviously, you want to look at matchups and certain things, a great rushing offense against a poor rushing defense and things like that. You're always going to pay attention to that aspect of matchups. But a lot of times in these games, it's about motivation and certain, factors like that really don't have anything to do with the numbers. And I think a lot of signs point to SMU as a team that's going to show up here. And Florida Atlantic, you have to have a lot of questions. So not only that, I think the numbers make SMU about a field goal better. So to me, there are some signs here to point to the Mustangs as a play in the Boca Raton Bowl. If you remember last year, San Diego State showed up in the bowl game after just a horrendous stretch run, and the Aztecs playing in the New Mexico Bowl on Saturday. Rocky Long had basically said before last year's bowl that he didn't really care about the bowl game. He was evaluating players. And if you read his comments, you were firing against San Diego State in that bowl game. And I think Rocky Long is going to have a different approach in the New Mexico Bowl because of the way the Aztecs got embarrassed 27-0 by Ohio last year, and they did have the stronger finish to this regular season. But I think similar, maybe a somewhat similar situation here with Florida Atlantic, where it's going to be more player evaluation and looking ahead to next year in the program without Lane Kiffin than it is, you know, coming up with a big effort in this bowl game. I just don't think, I think if you look for teams that might be flat in the bowl season, Florida Atlantic is going to be one.
Right. And also the fact that it's the Boca Raton Bowl, how much excitement is there for the players to really not be traveling?
Not much.
And that's another component. You talked about the motivation. So I'm right with you on that. We weren't planning on discussing this one, but so does that mean you like San Diego State here against Central Michigan? I've been burned by the Chippewas a little bit lately, so I'm not exactly rushing to the counter to fade them, but, I mean, given what you were mentioning about the Aztecs.
Boy, man, the Aztecs are tough to bet. I think they've only had two games.
They don't score.
The entire season that went over the – what?
They don't score.
I think only two San Diego State games the entire season went over a total of 41 points. It's just really tough to watch their games, and it's tough to lay points with an offense like this. I mean, it was the last game of the season. I was so disappointed in BYU offensively. Couldn't do anything against San Diego. So it was just – it was a grinder, and it was hard to watch. And it's just hard for me to lay points with the Aztecs. Their quarterback play so uninspiring. This is supposed to be a spread offense, by the way. This is Rocky Long's idea of a spread offense. I want to bet against the MAC sometimes when possible. I mean, Chris Felica had the number on his Twitter page. The MAC is 2-15 straight up in bowls the past 3 years. I think San Diego State might be a team that shows up to play this year, unlike last year, and partly because of what happened in the last year's game. But I don't want to lay 3.5 here. I think if you're looking to mess around and maybe play a money line parlay, or just if you can lay three with the Aztecs, maybe that's a play. But I really don't have that as a bet as of right now. By the way, the total is 41.
Well, and I just looked this up. I had no idea. They've gone under in every single game but one this year, the Aztecs.
Right.
I didn't realize it was that. I knew they had low scoring games, but I also know they had low totals. I didn't realize they still cashed the under in all but one game.
I'm going to test my memory. I think the one over was against New Mexico State. Is that correct? Or no,
Wyoming.
Okay.
Landed 48 on a total that was 38. I mean, they have NFL totals here. That's the thing. It's, I mean, they had a couple early in the season, the 50s. Obviously, that wasn't happening. But they've had four in the 30s. Just remarkable. Really, really kind of an outlier season for the Aztecs. Let's go to the Huskies. Perhaps the most disappointing team this year, maybe, just given the high expectations this year. I even thought Eason was, like, worth a flyer in the Heisman Trophy just if they had won the Pac-12 and just given his ridiculous odds. That didn't pan out. So here they are, laying 3.5 against Boise State. You like the favorite here.
Well, I like the favorite, but I don't want to lay 3.5. It's kind of a similar situation to San Diego State. If you're going to play the favorite, maybe find a way to play it and not lay that hook on the 3, because I don't trust Washington. I had a mediocre college football betting season. I had to sit below my standards, and part of the reason was I put too much faith in Chris Peterson. And two of the losses I had that really hurt in the second half of the season were when the Huskies were home dogs against Utah and home dogs against Oregon. They had a lead in the second half, a double-digit lead in the second half of both games, and lost and failed to cover both times. And I would agree with your assessment that Washington might be the most disappointing team in all of college football this season. I know it has been for me, but Chris Peterson, this is going to be his finale, and you got to think that Washington's going to fire all of its bullets in this game at the Vegas Bowl on Saturday. By the way, this is the last game at Sam Boyd Stadium little stadium out in the desert, and the Vegas Bowl is going to be at the new Raiders Stadium in the future.
What's going to happen? What's going to happen to the old Silver Bowl?
What's that?
What's going to happen to the old Silver Bowl?
You know, I don't know.
Monster truck rallies and all the other events it hosts?
I guess there are some other events that could be out there, but I mean, there's so many venues in Las Vegas now that you don't really need Sam Boyd Stadium anymore, and it's out there in the middle of the desert where it's not convenient, so
right.
You can almost knock it down.
And when
speaking of that game, one thing that bothers me about the Washington side, and, you know, we have this in a lot of bowl games, tight end Hunter Bryant and left tackle Trey Adams not going to play, both NFL prospects, and they're going to sit this one out. And that bothers me quite a bit about the Washington side. And Boise looks like it's going to have Hank Bachmeyer and Jalen Henderson, both quarterbacks, going to be ready to go for this game. So I don't feel like Washington is a great bet with those two guys sitting out. But I do like Washington's chances to win this game. Just the overall talent level is better for Washington than it is for Boise. I felt like the Mountain West was kind of a garbage conference this year. I thought it was watered down. And and Washington should have a distinct talent edge here. Washington's had some great recruiting classes, by the way, under Chris Peterson lately and again this year. And, Boise's not recruiting quite on that level. And I think Jacob Eason needs a big game. That doesn't mean he's going to have it. I remember talking with Stanford Steve about midseason, and we were debating Justin Herbert and Jacob Eason, for the NFL draft. And those guys were looking like each, we're going to be top five picks. And Steve said he liked Eason better than Herbert. Both of those guys faded badly down the stretch. So I think Eason needs to show up here and have a good game against Boise this week, wrap up his college career, and send out Peterson a winner. But, Doug, just from a numbers perspective, I don't feel comfortable laying the hook on the three. So if you want to play Washington, find a way to play it without laying 3.5.
Yeah, the problem with Eason is he has no playmakers to throw to. I mean, Herbert has a lot more. Washington's offense, right. That was the issue. It's just the playmakers were lacking at the wide receiver position particularly. You like the biggest dog on the board this poll season. Convince me on Marshall, please.
Well, Central Florida 2-7 against the spread down the stretch. Didn't really, obviously got a lot of weapons on that offense, but I don't think UCF's going to be fired up to play in this bowl game. This is another situation where this team has, been undefeated the past couple of years and playing on a bigger stage in the bowl season and is now going to play in the Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa, which is not that big of a deal. And I could see the Knights, being a little bit flat in this spot because this bowl game is just not what they're used to the past few years. And Marshall is on a great bowl run. If you care about trends, Marshall is 12-1 straight up and against the spread. A 12-1 straight up and against the spread run in bowl games. Doc Holliday is 6-0. And I think Marshall, I'm not going to pick Marshall to win this game, but 17.5 is a big number. And I think the Thundering Herd stay within that number against maybe a disinterested favorite here in UCF.
Can't fault you at all for that logic. I mean, we talk about it so much with the flat spots and things like that, those handicapping axioms certainly apply in the bowl season. It's just a little bit of a tweak here and there. So I love it. And 17.5 is obviously a ton, even though App State's probably my favorite play of the bowl season so far.
UAB is bad. You talk about the New Orleans Bowl, talk about the worst teams participating in the bowl season, and UAB is right down there at the bottom. And, in the bowl pools I'm in, I picked App State to cover against UAB, and I don't like to play big favorites, but I think App State probably wins that game by 30.
So, yeah, I mean, we skipped it, and I probably should have discussed it earlier, just, touching on my plays. But that's the play I had to pick for a SportsCenter taping with Stephen Bear. Look, it comes down to this. They have 9 wins, which is, like, just the biggest farce in the entire bowl season, that team has 9 wins. Conference USA ranks dead last of the 10 bowl FBS conferences, and according to FBI. And even independent, so it's like actually 11 of 11. All their wins, so you have 9 wins. One came against Alcorn State of FCS. The other 8, one came against Louisiana Tech when the Bulldogs were down to their third-string quarterback, and the game was in Birmingham, and they only won by 6. Okay? So just throw that game out. The other 7 were all teams that rank 109 out of 130 or worse. So it's all of them just beating up on bad teams within Conference USA and then other teams like Akron. So UAB stinks. They have no business. Meanwhile, App State's 30th in FBI, ranked, obviously. Yes, they did lose their head coach to go to Missouri, but they're promoted within, and not even just the interim tag. It was also, like, the permanent tag. So I think all signs point to, like, a good showing from App State. And to your point, it should be similar to what we saw in the Conference USA Championship game when FAU blew them out by 40-plus. So I'm expecting a 30-plus point win.
I would expect nothing less from the bully, Doug Kazarian, picking on the worst teams in college football in the bowl season.
I am a betting bully. For those new to the program, you mentioned that on Daily Wager. He called me a bully, and it was really funny when he did it, and still is. Yeah, look, because you have the modelers and all that other sort of bettors that are just in their DNA to take the points on those big situations. And I'm like, no, we have outliers. I faded the Orioles all year and had the season win total. I'm okay beating up on the bad teams because sometimes the market doesn't correct enough. So for every close game like Akron had on one of those final Tuesday or Wednesday Maction nights, they get their tails kicked the other night. So, yeah, sometimes you feel stupid laying like 30 and they barely win. But the other times you're laughing at how bad and how little few points you had to lay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's a little bit of. It's just the same as it's just a different animal. It's just the same concepts though. So I'm on App State in sort of like the first week of action. We're both on the Hawaii Bowl. I'm on the team total of BYU over. But I can't fault you at all for taking the game over. Why don't you explain the game over, why you're on the over, and I'll explain why I isolated the Cougars team total.
The game total has ticked up a couple points from 62 to 64. I'll say right off the bat that, you know, a week out, it's a little tough because I looked at the weather forecast for Honolulu, and on Christmas Eve, it's supposed to be 15-mile-an-hour winds and the chance of rain, and I was obviously hoping for perfect weather, and that might not be the case, but again, you know, we're like a week out, those things can change. So, you know, those forecasts can be very inaccurate. I hope there is not rain. If you're going to bet the over, I don't want rain and wind in the Hawaii Bowl. But really, when you're talking about a bowl game like this, I think both coaches should want to showcase their offenses, and you got to use this for recruiting. And, you know, I would expect Nick Rolovich to have plenty of or at least a few trick plays ready to go, and you're going to fire. You're going to open it up. There's no reason, Doug, in a meaningless bowl game like this to be conservative, okay? And I think that's one of Kalani Sitake's biggest weaknesses. The BYU coach, he gets way too conservative sometimes. There is no reason to be conservative in a bowl game like this. If you do, you're just a dope. I like the BYU side a little bit, and BYU's got a much better defense. But I think Hawaii's going to spread the field, open things up, and make this a high-scoring game. Cole McDonald can turn the ball over too, which is not always a bad thing when you're looking, you know, to get overs. You could. he's kind of like early in the season, he was kind of like Jameis Winston. You know, he'd keep both teams in the game. You threw four TD passes and three picks. But I think Hawaii is going to be able to move the ball on this BYU defense. And, you know, just watching that last game of the season, BYU against San Diego State, Zach Wilson, the quarterback, was out there struggling. BYU's got really three quarterbacks who can move the ball. And I don't think they need to stick with Zach Wilson if he's not being effective. So I'm going to just go back to my basic thinking about a game like this. If it's a meaningless bowl game, and this is meaningless, there's no reason to be conservative. And I think both coaches are going to open things up, and this is going to be a fun game to watch on Christmas Eve. But I lean BYU. I might bet that side, but I do like over the total.
Yeah, I'm a lot of the same thinking. This Hawaii team, look, had some good performances down the stretch on defense, but that was against UNLV and San Diego State, which the offenses, in terms of offensive efficiency, are ranked so low in the nation. So it's a little misleading in that part. I do like McDonald, and sometimes when Cordero comes in, and I do like the explosive wide receivers like Bird, but for some reason, they kind of can't get out of their own way sometimes. Either it's like miscommunication with the receivers, or I just trust more that their defense will stink. I guess that's sort of what I'm talking about. So do I like the game over? Of course I do. But I just personally, I'm isolating BYU because I feel more confident that BYU will get points because of Hawaii's bad defense. But they've just had some weird performances during the year. And the fact that it's at home, and maybe we talked about it with the Boca Raton Bowl. I don't know. I don't like the under. Let's just put it that way. But I'm isolating BYU. You're going Lutheran.
Yeah, one thing just to keep an eye on there. Just keep an eye on the weather. That's what I'm going to say if you're looking to bet the total. And I am looking to bet. I haven't bet it yet, but like I said, it ticked up from 62 to 64. I'm looking to play it over, but I want to make sure it's not going to be like a windy, you know, rainy night in Honolulu. And it looks like right now that might be a possibility. So you got to keep an eye on that. But, you know, it's that's why it's another reason why it's sometimes tricky to put out bowl picks a week before the game.
Makes sense. Louisiana Tech laying, catching points here against Miami. No, can't fault you at all for fading the Canes.
Well, you know, a lot of people are fading the Canes in the betting marketplace. This number opened as high as 10, you know, it's dropped to 6.5, and you got to think Miami's going to be a disinterested favorite. Doug, if you're a Hurricanes player, are you going to be jacked up to spend Christmas in Shreveport?
No.
Probably not. Did you see what happened to Miami last year in the bowl game in the Pinstripe Bowl? You know, I faded Miami in that game last year. I'm going to fade Miami again here. And Louisiana Tech, Skip Holtz, is good in certain roles, and he's been a pretty good underdog coach over the years. La Tech's also got a 5-game bowl winning streak. And if you look at the Hurricanes side, 1-8 straight up in the past 9 bowls. I think the motivation's all with the Bulldogs here. You know, with a name opponent coming to Shreveport, I like La Tech's chances to win this game. You know, and I think it's pretty easy to see why the money's on that side.
Yeah, no kidding. And you mentioned the motivation and the excitement of players. Look, they're human. They're kids. Let's not forget that. That's kind of why I like BYU, just the older guys on that team, the men going and getting some foot, and especially coming off the poor performance against San Diego State. So in terms of this one, I can't fault you at all. There's no way I would lay points with Miami. I actually had Georgia Tech on the money line when they lost to the Yellow Jackets for their first win earlier this year. I just there's no part in them. The coaching situation with Miami, too, and Manny Diaz and just all that. It just – no, thank you. No, thank you on Miami.
All right. So I guess to sum this up, if you got to ask me for 3 best bets here, I'm going to go Marshall plus 17.5. I'll go BYU Hawaii over 64, and I'll go La Tech plus 6.5.
Okay.
And there are a lot of bowls, you know, in week 2 and further down the bowl schedule I like more, but I think those were 3 decent best bets I can go with for the first week.
Good. We'll get to those, but real quickly, I do want to get your thoughts on the 2 playoff games, just given we have a couple point spreads right near key numbers. We'll start with Clemson. I want to get your opinion on why you like the Tigers, and I'll tell you why I like mine.
Yeah, no problem. Clemson has flipped, obviously, from a 1-point dog where the Westgate opened it to a 2-point favorite at this point. I like Clemson better as a dog, but it's no big deal here. I think the Big Ten was a little bit overrated this year. And
isn't it every year, though?
Not every year, but most years. It's probably accurate to say that. I mean, it was this Ohio State team, though, is kind of a different animal. I think the Buckeyes are for real, and they're going to give Clemson a game here. It's not going to be like the last time these teams met in the desert. It was 31-0. You know, that was a total mismatch, and Urban Meyer got shut out in this game. Really, you look at Justin Fields of Ohio State, just a phenomenal season. When's the last time you've heard of a quarterback accounting for 50 touchdowns with 1 turnover? You know, and I think some of the mobility issues that he had in the Big Ten championship game with the knee where he could move around as well, that's going to be cleared up, so he's going to be fine. So I don't think there's any excuses here with the Ohio State side, but it looks to me like Clemson is the highest-rated team of the 4 left. And I know there's people make a case for LSU, but I love this Clemson defense, man. I think Clemson's got the better defense in this matchup. And Trevor Lawrence, after he was kind of sleepwalking early in the season, I really think Clemson was a little bit bored and coasting early in the season. And the Tigers got that wake-up call against North Carolina. And if you look at their performances since that North Carolina game, that game sticks in a lot of people's minds, right? They say, well, they were lucky to beat North Carolina. Well, look at what the Tigers have done since that game. They have been completely dominant, and they have destroyed teams. And really, I think the matchups are very similar because each team has, you know, a big-time running back who's going to be able to move the sticks. What it comes down to for me is I trust Trevor Lawrence and his experience, his playoff experience, and Clemson's overall playoff experience. And I think the Tigers have the better defense, and that's what I'm going to go with here. I think I think we're going to see a Clemson LSU final.
And by the way, if they lost that game to North Carolina, they'd be the exact same situation, or they'd be the 3 seed with one loss. Because the next games they won and covered all, what was it, 8 straight against FBS
right.
opponents. They didn't cover the Wofford game, but they still blew them out. And they've just been dominant. It's the same situation. It's not like Oregon would be ahead of them or something like that, and Oklahoma wouldn't be the 3 seed. So it'd be the same exact situation. They answered the bell. They basically treated it like a loss. But it is fascinating because, obviously, the competition that was much stiffer that Ohio State faced that Clemson did, like Michigan or Penn State or Wisconsin even, there was like somewhat competitive games, I guess, but one-sided. And then the other games were all blowouts, which is exactly what Clemson had on his resume. So just as a fascinating kind of historical concept, do you take the team that's just trucking every bad team? And they weren't exactly bad. Let's give some credit to the Tigers. Like, they made teams look really inept, some of these teams, like the ACC championship game. But they're just loaded. And maybe I'm just, my eyes trust what we've seen. Like, I've seen Clemson dominate on this stage, and I'm going to lay the 2.5. And if I lose, so be it. I've obviously lost a lot worse bets, but I'm comfortable taking Clemson right. in this situation with Dabo pushing all the right buttons. And I've always looked to kind of fade the Big Ten. And I know Ohio State's kind of like an atypical Big Ten team. I concede that. But with that being said, I'll still take the Tigers.
Yeah, I don't think Clemson's going to run over Ohio State.
No,
like
no.
Last time we saw these two teams get together. But I like Clemson to win a close game here. I'm going to say the Tigers win by 4-7, you know, something like that. And I really do believe they have the better defense, and that's going to be the difference. You know, it's going to be the best defense that Justin Fields has faced. There's a lot of hype on that Michigan defense, but that's, as we've seen, that's been proven
exactly.
to be a little bit phony the past couple of years, right? And the Penn State defense is pretty good, but the Ohio State offense did bog down a little bit in that game too. So I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence and a better defense here, and I think Clemson -2 is a play.
All right, my friend. Well, good chatting as always. Merry Christmas to you, and I know your family's out there in Vegas, so enjoy the holiday, and we'll get you back on here next time.
Hey, you bet. Thanks a lot, Doug. Happy holidays to you. Catch you soon.
Kicking is for losers.
Oh, boy, is it. So many examples throughout the season. I expect we're going to see a lot of situations here in the bowl season, Murray, but I also think there are going to be a lot more aggressive sort of approaches from head coaches given the exhibition nature of the bowl game. So hopefully it'll be a start of something new in the next season, the aggressive approach.
I'm not hoping for that. I hope they still do stupid things that I can make fun of.
Yeah, you need your brain still, right?
I disagree with that. I hope they still make these boneheaded decisions to kick these short field goals instead of just going for it on offense.
Well, they trust their defense. They trust the defense.
Oh, I know that. They trust their So does that mean they don't trust their offense? I guess I don't really understand that logic at all.
No, it's just some meathead cliche, I think, and I don't think they really think about anything.
Got it.
So we have 41 bowl games over the next 4 weeks, and I'm going to do the math on that. I think 41 point spreads as well. So
that sounds about right.
It's exciting, in addition to all the derivatives, right? The first half, mm-hmm. first quarters. So, all right, my friend, what we're doing here, we're going to focus on the first week and then go from there, and we'll probably talk about okay. playoff and stuff. But what sharp action have you seen? Because let's just start with the Utah State line. We've seen movement here. But it's back up. The guys are cleared to play. Jordan Love and the two other players. You know, it's BYU. It's not Utah State. So they're going to play. And the lines come back up a little bit.
Yeah. So this one, I'd say of all the games, has bounced around the most. Talking about the Frisco Bowl, this game is Friday night. This number's gone all the way from 9 all the way down to 4.5. Right now we're at Utah State -6.5. It sounds like Jordan Love is going to play. We saw one sharp guy took 8 with Kent State. That bet was placed December 10th. Obviously, that number is gone. Yesterday, you could actually lay 4.5. I think it was yesterday. Yesterday you could lay 4.5 with the favorite, but now it's bounced back up to 6.5. So it's kind of a hard game for me to say, here's what the sharp guys played, here's what you should do, because the number has just jumped around so much, and so many different people have bets on this game at so many different numbers that aren't even available anymore.
And this is a situation where the guys taking the plays are doing it to play back another number, mostly. So
probably, you know, it's always that's always speculation on my part, but that would be my guess. That's generally what we see in most of our limit-sized bets, especially on college football. It's especially especially on college football bets that are made long before the game. That's what I should have said. Those guys, a lot of times, are playing and then they play back. Not all of them.
Right.
Some guys are just gambling.
Also, this particular situation where it's like injury news, they're beating it.
Yeah.
So it's not like, now, if you're sitting there plus nine, have a great number, and the market's four and it closes, then you might sit on it. But just given the nature of the unknown, the speculation, there's a lot of just grabbing the numbers, creating a middle or whatever, money line scalp.
Yes.
In this, the nature of what this was, then that's a lot of just number grabbing, and they may usually grab it at another book, right? They don't come back and play it at your site?
No, they would generally bet it somewhere else. I mean, we wouldn't really want people to be taking eight and then laying 4.5 with us here. We wouldn't be too thrilled about that. But
sometimes
for the most part,
sometimes you have to do it at the same place and ruffle feathers.
I get it. I get it, man. It's not easy out there for the bettors.
Okay, so but even before that, the first bowl game on Friday afternoon, we've seen some movement as well in the total based on the weather reports in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And what was this, a 5-point move on the total?
We were as high as 58 on the total. We got down to 55.5. Right now we're all the way down to 51.5. Haven't we done this before with the Bahamas Bowl?
Where last year.
It was last year, right? I mean, the bowls kind of all run together to me as I'm moving into my golden years, Doug. But, you know, I feel like we've done this before with this Bahamas Bowl. And then if my memory does serve me, when the game started, it was fine, and the whole thing was fake news. Is that how it went last year? It was something like that, where everybody was speculating on this horrible weather, and then nothing happened.
No, I think it was really windy, and it was like 10-7 at half or something ridiculous.
I might have been thinking about a different game. But right. I can tell you guys, for this year's game, this total's dropped about a touchdown, and it's all based on the weather. And then we've actually seen a lot of money come on the favorite, and Buffalo's been bet up from 4.5 up to -7. This is Charlotte's first ever bowl game, by the way.
You know, so, I'm okay kind with of that steam. I think the Conference USA, I think you'd make money if you faded all eight bowl teams. I really do.
Yeah, but, you know, that sort of thing is usually built into the point spreads.
It is.
I know
what
you're saying, though.
Yeah, I mean, just so their rank in FPI, which isn't the end-all be-all, but the Conference USA ranks 10th out of 10 in terms of bowl, conference strength. And I just think they've all beaten up each other, and they're all in the 100-plus kind of range of FPI. So, like, I think UAB being a bowl team is just, like, hilarious. Being a bowl team at 9 wins is just hilarious, given who
they are. Yeah, they might be in for a long day against Appalachian State. That game, Saturday night, the New Orleans Bowl, they're a 16.5-point dog in that game.
Yeah, so that's, like, my favorite play, maybe of the entire bowl season, but definitely the early slate. Let's move to Saturday. What other
sharp
backs
are?
What's that? Go ahead.
What do you think of that, though? That game's at 9 p.m. Is that 8 p.m. in New Orleans? New Orleans is central time zone, right?
I don't know.
That seems kind of like a late kickoff in New Orleans. I feel like people are going to be having fun by that late at night in New Orleans.
Yeah, but I don't think the players will be.
Well, I don't know about that.
I think the players will be okay at 8 o'clock.
I got a feeling the players are going to have a little fun while they're down there. You know, the one game I can report some interesting stuff on.
And just to clarify the joke, I meant like leading into kickoff. Like I was like, you were talking about the crowd.
I know.
Okay, good. I just want our listeners to know.
I got you.
Just to
be very clear, Doug is aware that college kids do drink in New Orleans. All right, now that we cleared that up, you know, everybody's on SMU in the Boca Raton Bowl. Ticket count's like 7-1, and actually the number's gone down from 3.5 to 3.
Ooh.
We had a respected player. He took 3.5 with Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic coach Lane Kiffin moving on to bigger and better things, but it really was a great year for the Owls. So potentially you could be looking at a reverse line movement situation there. Everybody's on SMU, and the numbers come down just by 0.5 now. Let's not go nuts here, but it has moved a little bit against the money.
That is interesting. Obviously, the Lane Kiffin component is very compelling here. Any other Saturday action?
You know, honestly, not really.
Okay.
All the other games, very little money in the pools. There's a little bit of money on San Diego State against Central Michigan in the New Mexico Bowl. But for the most part, I mean, there are some tickets on the Boise State-Washington game. That's the Las Vegas Bowl Saturday afternoon at Sam Boyd. But really, there's not really a lot to report in terms of line movement on the Saturday bowl games. And I think it's going to really hurt the handle for those college bowl games on Saturday that they're going up against a pretty solid NFL triple header.
Ah, yes, the triple header on Saturday. I forgot about that. that no Thursday, no more Thursday night action in the college football, excuse me, the NFL season, now just Saturdays and Sundays, and then one more Monday nighter.
Exactly, and I think that'll definitely hurt the college action because, you know, frankly, the college card on Saturday is pretty underwhelming, and the NFL games look to be pretty solid.
All tickets cash the same. All tickets cash the same.
No doubt.
Okay, so no bowl game on Sunday, but we do get going Monday afternoon, Marshall and Central Florida. I believe this is the biggest point spread of the season so far, right? 17.5?
Yeah, and it's a game we actually haven't moved the number at all. We've been at 17.5. We've been at 61.5 on the total the whole time. Action's pretty split on this one. The big Gasparilla Bowl on Monday in Tampa, Florida. Really, I mean, there's certainly nothing to report there in terms of sharp action. The number hasn't even budged.
So any sharp action, let's say, through Christmas, the day after Christmas?
Yeah, I'd say that we've seen some respected play on the over in the Hawaii Bowl. That game's between BYU and Hawaii in Honolulu, Hawaii. That's Christmas Eve night if you're trying to avoid your family on Tuesday night. Some sharp money pushed that total from 62 to 64. BYU a 2-point favorite in that game. The action on the side's been pretty split.
Yeah, I'm on the team total over for BYU. I'm pretty sure Hawaii would get there too, but I have more confidence in that Hawaii D being leaky and the BYU men taking things seriously and tearing up that. Hawaii's been weird. Their defense was bad all year and then like played well against some horrible offenses, so I'm not going to put too much stock in that is my point.
It's pretty solid matchup there for
the
Hawaii
Bowl.
Yeah,
should be an entertaining game. Old Mountain West matchup.
Good. Yeah, not bad at all. Now, no bowl games Christmas Day, but we move to December 26th, the Independence Bowl in Shreveport, Louisiana. A lot of respected play on Louisiana Tech. They took 7 with Louisiana Tech. That number's down to 6. They're playing Miami, Florida in that game.
Okay. That makes sense. The Bulldogs had some quarterback issues at times. Miami can't fault anyone for fading the Canes.
No, I agree. Now, really nothing to report on the Quick Lane Bowl. What a treat for Pitt and Eastern Michigan getting to play their bowl game in Detroit the day after Christmas. They must be thrilled
Michigan
with that
gets
one.
It's the big trip to Detroit, huh?
Oh, Pittsburgh to Detroit's not much further. You know,
oh, really?
I've actually flown from Pittsburgh to Detroit. That's pretty close. You know, there's a good slate of games on December 27th, next Friday.
Okay,
but it's a little early still, and I really don't have much to report. I mean, other than in the Texas Bowl, we saw some respected play on the Texas A&M Aggies. They laid 6. That number's up to 7. They're playing Oklahoma State in that game. Other than that, it's really just divided action on the other 4 bowl games. Probably the best matchup looks to be USC and Iowa in the Holiday Bowl in San Diego. Now, that'd be a good game to go to as a fan. But pretty divided action on the other 4 games there. But I figure what everybody wants to talk about is actually the following day, Saturday the 28th, the college football playoff.
Right. So what we've had some line movement with LSU, right? The speculation, the reports, the rumors, however vague you want to be, but we've hit that key number 14.
Yeah, we have, and you're absolutely right. There's been a lot of reports on Twitter that Oklahoma's going to have a handful of players suspended. It hasn't been confirmed by anybody, to my knowledge. We saw a lot of money come in on LSU at -13, even before those reports were made public. We had a guy bet $20,000 on LSU last week, moved us to 13.5. We moved up to 14 earlier this week off that speculation. A lot of money on the under here as well. Our total's been pushed down to 75.5. So we just got to keep an eye on Twitter. And, you know, we're always keeping an eye on Twitter for these other bowl games because we think players might sit them out because they don't really mean anything. It's a little bit unusual to be keeping an eye on it for one of the college football playoff games where obviously both teams have everything at stake. And you expect a full effort from each team. But if a bunch of guys get suspended for Oklahoma, there's really not much they can do about it.
Yeah, the funny business is different in the playoff game. That means so much versus these other exhibition games. You're monitoring a lot of other stuff, including coaching moves. And we considered that with Dave Aranda and things like that with LSU. And there were some reports to maybe UNLV. Right. But Rebels went a different route. Do you think we touch 3 with Clemson ever?
It's a great question. My thought process on it is if LSU wins in a blowout fashion, then maybe, because there's going to be a lot of parlays of those two favorites talking about LSU and Clemson. If LSU crushes Clemson and the books see their liability of what they're going to lose on Clemson, you might see a three in this game.
Just to protect and risk the getting sided?
Yeah. I just remember three years ago. I told you my years were all running together. 3 years ago, everybody was betting Clemson like crazy in this game. And Clemson won that game 31-0. And they're all going to come in on Clemson again, in my opinion, in this spot. And if we've already gotten our heads kicked in on LSU, I'm talking about the collective Nevada books, I wouldn't be surprised to see a three pop up somewhere.
Yeah, that's sort of like I'm weighing if I should lay the two and a half now, or do I get cute and try to lay the two? I think you have to lay the two and a half now because the three is so much more important.
I am surprised. You mentioned the total in the Oklahoma LSU game. 75.5 feels a little high. Like it just does.
It's just hard to picture LSU ever getting stopped by Oklahoma. I mean, I know what you're saying, but if you don't believe in Jalen Hurts, that's one thing. But it's just hard to picture the Oklahoma defense offering any resistance at all.
So maybe it's an OU team total or LSU team total over. Yeah.
If you need action early in that day and you can't wait until 1 o'clock Pacific time for the Peach Bowl, everybody is betting Notre Dame in the Camping World Bowl. So probably, I think it's our most lopsided ticket count of the entire bowl season. And I do know some sharp guys that like Iowa State in that game. They're catching 3.5. That game's Saturday morning in Orlando. So if you're looking for, if you can't wait until 1 o'clock, there's some early action for you.
All right, Murray, thank you again.
Yeah, guys, we'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds to me like you guys a couple of bookies.
All right, that's going to do it for this podcast. Thanks to John Murray. Thanks to Matt Eumanns. Obviously an exciting time of year with all the bowls upon us. As I mentioned, 41 games between now and a month from now. So a lot of opportunities. We're splitting up the podcast. We'll have another one next week after Christmas. So stay tuned, whether it be my Twitter feed or whatever download kind of iTunes feed you have. And we'll go from there. So happy holidays to everyone. Merry Christmas to those who celebrate. And we'll see you on the backside of Christmas, but before New Year's and before the big slate of games, if you will, into the college football playoff on next Saturday and the other big marquee bowl games.